descendants according to grace and faith. Amen? And with that, we have Abraham's blessing. Remember, we looked at those scriptures. Now, if you weren't here last week, and I know in the vacation season, people are in and out a lot, but it would be a message, I think, that would really bless you. Because I tell you, God's wanting us to walk in the fullness of the blessing. Say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. You're not blessed to just get blessed. That's where we miss it sometimes, do we not? And even the world sees that. Oh, yeah, you're talking about how blessed you are. But when we can understand that the reason we're blessed is to be a blessing, that turns everything around. Amen? And then we start to understand. Even to say, well, I just want to get my needs met. How many know, when you do that, you're limiting yourself on anything else you can do. You're just limiting yourself, like, say, to pay the bills. Well, that's great. That's a starting point. But God wants you to be blessed to be able to be a blessing to others. Amen? And so let's don't believe selfishly. Amen? Let's believe in the blessing in which God wants us to be. Amen? Wherever he's appointed you, wherever he's placed you, to be a blessing. Amen? All right. Glory to God. So Jesus made it very clear that the enemy, he called him a thief. He said he's come but what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. And of course, Jesus said, I've come to give you life and to give that to you in abundance, literally meaning to overflow. Here's the thing I want you to understand. Satan lies to us to get us to agree with him. He's been doing it since the Garden of Eden, to get you into agreement with him so he can take you down, get you out from under the blessing. Jesus speaks to us to get you into faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Amen? Now, we know that, but you know, sometimes why do we listen to the liar? Hello? How many of you have gone sometimes, not moments, but even days, listening to the liar instead of listening to the Spirit of the Lord? And so that's what we have to be careful of. For faith comes by, well, can I tell you this? I'm going to add to it a little bit, but it's the truth. Fear comes by hearing Satan's lies. Faith comes by hearing God's truth. Amen? Very simply, it's cut and dry. It couldn't be any more black and white. When Jesus gave us John 10:10, he drew a line in the sand. Yeah. Satan's come to steal it from you. I've come to give you life. Yeah. And to give you that life abundantly. Praise his holy name. Amen? And so that's why I've got to learn, no matter what's going on in my life, though there may be a thief in my house, I'm going to stand up and raise a hallelujah. Yeah. Amen? Because see, God's not intimidated by the enemy, but the enemy is intimidated by not you, but the Christ that is in you. He's intimidated by the Christ that is in you. Hallelujah. So we can understand that. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of that. Jesus said this. He said, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence against it, but the violent take it by force. Now, we know that's not a physical violence. There's enough religions in the world that take up physical violence to impose their cause. We're talking about a spiritual violence of faith. How many know faith is not wimpy? Faith is not passive. Faith is very aggressive. Like we were praying today, somebody was praying along the lines about that woman with the issue of blood. She had to press through the crowds and get to Jesus and lay hold of the hem of his garment. And even in that, you know, his disciples were marveling, saying, Lord, what do you mean who touched you? Everybody's touching you. But she touched him with faith. And it released the virtue of God and she was healed. Amen? So faith is aggressive. Faith goes after it. Faith is like a bulldog, man. I'm going to lay hold of it. Amen? And I'm not going to let go of it until I get what I've got. And I tell you, we need to be more like that. I think it brings joy to our Lord. It's a spiritual force to believe God. I just want you to, I heard Bill Johnson say this. He said, some people get saved just enough to go to heaven. But they don't get saved to the degree where they're walking in the kingdom. Thank God you're going to heaven, but there's so much more to this life than what's going to happen afterwards. He wants to show his victory through your life now. Because that wins more and more people to believe in the Lord. Amen? That's the whole point of it, is it not? The harvest? I mean, I'm glad we're going to heaven, but you know, if I'm not going to accomplish anything, then let's go to heaven. But the Lord wants to do something mighty in our lives. Amen? Until the last day we draw breath on this earth, I want to serve him for his glory. Anybody with me? So that's what this is all about. So I want to take you to a passage. It's going to seem a little lengthy, but I want to read it in context because it shows Christ's victory over the enemy. And I want to read it to you today. You've heard it before, but if you want to turn there, you can. It's found in Colossians chapter 2. And we will miraculously put it on the wall. Are you ready? Verse 6. Therefore, as you have received Christ, say that's me. I've received him as Lord. So what? Walk in him. That's very important. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him. Okay. And establish what? In your faith. Say that with me. In your faith. Just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. I mean, you know, we've been singing today because I don't know about you, but I'm overflowing with gratitude. Anybody? Hallelujah. But we shouldn't just do it when the music's playing. We should live our lives overflowing with gratitude. Do you agree? See to it that no one takes you captive. Now get this. Through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Very important. For in Him, say in Him, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in Him, get this, you have been made complete. Omar agrees. Anybody else? You've been made complete in Him. Amen. And He is the head over all rule and authority. And in Him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. I mean, it's a spiritual circumcision, right? In the removal of the body of the flesh by circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised up with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. Hallelujah. Are you glad for new life? Amen. Now keep reading. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him. Amen. Having forgiven all. Everybody say all. I looked it up in the Greek. It means all. All of our transgressions. Come on, say hallelujah. Having canceled, get this, canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us. How many know the law was a decree against us because we couldn't keep the law? So these decrees, an enemy was using it against you. Now notice this. Look what it says. Which was hostile toward us, and He has taken it out of the way, get this now, having nailed it to the cross. Do you see that? Do you see the victory? Very important you see this. When He had disarmed the rulers and the authorities, He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through Him. Bless His holy name. The cross was not just meant a story to make us feel sad. Yes, He died for you, but there was a purpose in it. Amen? And that was to defeat your and my enemy. Hallelujah. He's defeated. Glory be to God. So first of all, think about this. All those indictments that are against us, because none of us can stand before a holy God and say we lived our lives holy. But all those indictments were nailed to the cross, and it was a public display of their cancellation. So when the enemy accuses today, he has no ground to stand on. Right? If you're in Christ, right? If you're in Christ, the enemy has no ground to stand on. You understand that? That's what sets Christianity apart from all the other religions of the world. Nothing else can free you but the blood of Jesus. Okay? But the second thing was, He made a spectacle of the principalities and powers. He made a spectacle of the devil. Think about that. He made a show of him openly. And all the spiritual and authority that the enemy thought he had through condemnation was stripped away from him. Now, it does not mean the enemy can't condemn you, or he won't try to condemn you, or he won't try to accuse you. Here's the thing. He has no standing in the court of God. Are you with me? In fact, we'll look at a verse in a few moments. There's a way that we overcome his accusations. And it has nothing to do with, you know, how much you gave today and that you came to church and that you sang songs. It has everything to do with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, we'll look at that in just a moment. I think you know what verse I'm talking about, but I'll try to save some of my thunder for later. So he made this public declaration. I just want to tell you today, our adversary has been totally defeated.
Yes.
Amen? I mean, that's why the horrific price was paid. Okay? Not to make a Hollywood movie, but to settle the score. Amen? So that men can be free. Hallelujah. Don't you love our Lord? Hallelujah. But here's one thing you need to understand about our adversary. He is a thief and a liar. So what does that make him? He's an outlaw. He's a criminal. He's a spiritual criminal. How many know it's illegal for somebody to break into my house? But that doesn't mean criminals don't do it or won't try to do it, right? So you have to enforce the law against them, right?
Yeah.
Everybody with me? Same with the enemy. A lot of times we think, well, I thought I was free and the enemy's been attacking me all week. Well, take authority over him in the name of Jesus. Amen? I mean, really, it's that simple. You wouldn't go home and go, well, I guess that thief needed my TV. None of you would do that. Well, I don't think so. Anyway, 911. All right. What's your emergency? Hallelujah. But here's the thing, guys. This is why we have to walk in Christ. We have to walk in Christ. We need to be built up in Him. Yeah. Amen. Because I have no standing before the enemy except Christ in me. Hallelujah. The hope of glory. It's very important that we hold on to that. We need to be established in our faith, as the scripture said, and overflowing all the time with gratitude about how good God is, because we're no longer under Satan's dominion. Think about this. The scripture says we've been transferred out of darkness into His marvelous light. In other words, darkness is blindness. You don't know what's going on. But when you get into light, you can see. And there's revelation. Hallelujah. And that's what God's calling us to live in. I love the passage in Isaiah 60. It says this: "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." Amen? Say me. And then it says this: "Though darkness covers the earth, and deep darkness be upon the peoples, the glory of the Lord will shine and rise upon you." In other words, always remember this. This room is lit up fairly well. We have sunlight coming in. We have, you know, the fluorescent lights in here today. But how many of you know you can't bring darkness in here unless you turn off the light? You could go to a dark room, and just with the light on your iPhone, you could bring light into darkness. It's the power of light over darkness. Are y'all with me? You can't bring darkness into light. It has no impact. And that's how it helps us to kind of understand. Sometimes I think we forget what we walk in. The Bible, that's why the Bible says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." Amen? I'm wanting to magnify the Lord. I'm wanting to turn the lights up. Are you with me? I'm not wanting to sit there and magnify the devil and what he's doing and bring glory to him. Is anybody with me today? But I want to magnify the Lord. The light, it drives out darkness. The love of God, when it's perfected in our hearts, drives out all fear. Amen? So we need to, you know, we need to major in the positive things about what Christ has done for us through His redeeming power. Amen? Now, go with me to First Peter 5 and verse number 8. Look at this verse. You've heard it before. "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert, for your adversary," who is he? Talk to me. "The devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." But what? Resist him. Amen? Being firm in your faith. Amen? You got to resist him. Now, let me say something today. Satan roams around like a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. But he has the attributes to his attack are very much like a lion. And that's the way he activates. But he's really toothless. He's been defeated. He's been embarrassed. Amen? Are you with me? He isn't a lion, but we have to resist him firm in our faith. Let me tell you today, don't become his prey. P-R-E-Y. Don't become his prey. Amen? His victim. The passion says for resist him, take a decisive action against him. I mean, sometimes you just got to do that. You got to make a decisive... Hold on a minute. This is the report of the evil one. I'm taking a decisive action against the devil. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And you have to do that. And you have to come to... Lions are called, what, the king of the jungle, right? And they usually intimidate with their roar, right? And if the roar works, they, you know, unless he wants to eat you, he's going to roar at you just to get you to get out of the way. I mean, that's kind of the way the enemy is a lot of times. There's a lot of bravado, but not a lot behind it. Are you with me? And so, but also, when they do attack, have you ever watched, like, you can even see the traits, like, in a domesticated cat, that how they prowl, and they kind of, you know, stay behind their prey, right? And they wait for that moment, tail twitching. And lions in the jungle do the same thing. It's so uncanny. If you've ever had a cat, or, you know, and watch one, and then watch a big lion on some of these videos we have now. I don't know why I keep posting animals killing themselves in Africa. I'm kind of like, please, I've seen all the blood and guts I need to see in my life. But they prowl, or they'll get up in a perched place and come down. It's almost like, I've never seen a video of a lion facing down some huge antelope face to face. He's always on top of them, catching them from behind. And that's the way to pray. So what does the enemy do? The enemy looks for the strays. He'll never jump in the middle of a herd. He'll never jump in the middle of a congregation. But when the enemy convinces you, you need to walk away from the congregation and just do life on your own. Oh, now you're set up. Amen? That's exactly how it works. But can I tell you today, greater is he that is in you than he who is in this world. Amen? The enemy is afraid of Christ Jesus in you. He is. He's afraid of Christ in you. I love this verse in 1 John. Before we share this, let me before we go to that 1 John scripture, hold on a second. I was listening to Sid Roth, and there was a lady on there. I don't even recall her name, but she made a statement that just resonated with my spirit. It's been kind of rumbling in my spirit for a couple of weeks. And she was telling this story, and then I'll tell you the quote. She was, I think, in Colorado somewhere, and she loves to go outdoors and hike and the trails and all that. And she's going along, and she notices, I think she said elk or maybe a big deer, but these huge antlers were on the ground. And she walked a little further, and the other set, you know, right and left, were on the ground. And she picked them up and said, "This is amazing, you know, that I could find these." And about the time she picked them up, I hope I'm telling the story close enough. I don't remember every little detail. But she just sensed that there was a mountain lion watching her. I think she said behind her. Anybody else see that episode? That the lion was behind her. And she said she kind of stood there. And she realized one thing. How many of you know, if I stand here long enough, I'm dinner. Right? And if I run, I'm dinner. Right? Because that's the way predatory animals are. The enemy's a predator. Right? And she said, get this. She took those two antlers. They must have been rather large. And she said, "I'm going to make myself as big as I can." She held the antlers up over her head, turned around screaming, and charged the lion. And she said, the lion kind of like... See, when some of you finally rise up in faith, the enemy's going to go, "Whoa! Man, what got Marvin's crawl, man? What?" You know what I'm saying? And she faced it, and that lion took off. I mean, come on. You got a choice to make, amen? What you going to do? You going to patty cake with the lion or try to say, "Kitty, kitty"? You know, anyway. And I thought, what amazing. And here's what she said. Get this. I want to quote it right. She said, "If we don't act like prey, we won't become prey." We could say, if you don't act like a victim, you won't become one. Well, who are you? You are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus your Lord. You are overcomers. You're not prey. You're not, everybody know I'm saying prey, P-R-E-Y. We do pray, but we're not prey. Okay, everybody with me? Okay. In other words, you're not din-din for the lion. Okay, all right, hallelujah. All right. Act like an overcomer, amen? Glory be to God. Look at this verse, 1 John 5:4. Whatever is born of God, that's me, is that you? Is born, is overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What is it? Say it. Our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Guess what? Your faith overcomes the world. It overcomes the enemy. Amen? So we have to activate our faith. We walk in faith. We walk in Christ. Now, the next verse some of you thought I was quoting earlier is very similar to the other one. In James 4:7, look here. Submit therefore to God. What else? Resist the devil, and what? He will flee from you. Amen? Goes on to say, if you draw near to God, God will draw near to you. So, the order here is very important. The order here is very, very important. You have to submit it to God. Amen? The situation, whatever's going on, you submit it to God. Amen? That's a humble surrender to Him. Remember we talked about last week how Abraham, even though he realized in the natural, the chance of him and Sarah having a baby were not good. And yet, he said, yet with respect, everybody say respect, for the promises of God, he didn't waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith. In other words, he respected God's word more than his predicament that he was in. Are y'all with me? And so you start to understand that. So when you submit it to God, you're actually respecting the authority, the lordship, and the promise of God in your life over your circumstances, no matter how impossible they seem in the natural, correct? But the second thing is you still have to understand something. You don't just submit it to God and sit there with your antlers in your hand. right? You have to resist the devil. And that's a very military term. It's a very aggressive term. You go after him. You make a stand. It's very important for us to understand that. And he will flee. Say, he will flee. Jesus sent out 70 of his disciples. It wasn't just the 12. There were 70 he sent out in Luke chapter 10. They all came back, remember, rejoicing. Say, Lord, the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus, you know, ministered to them. But he said this, I have given you authority over to tread upon scorpions. And so, now, that was this prophetic imagery of the enemy, right? To tread upon them. And then he said this, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall harm or injure you. That's an amazing statement that Jesus made. He said, you have authority over any and every wicked thing. In his name, obviously. And so it's important for us to understand. There's another scripture in Romans 16. I promise it's in there. I think it's around toward the end of the chapter. It says this, be excellent in what is good and be innocent of evil. Okay? So walk in your righteousness. Walk uprightly. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan. Get this. Underneath your feet and my feet. Amen? Notice that. See, a lot of times we pray in a way, oh God, come and deal with this. And God would say, I've already dealt with him. Right? Go back to Colossians 2. I've already dealt with him. I need you to get him under your feet. Amen? Are y'all getting there? I know this is not, you know, rocket science. But a lot of times, let's be honest, we don't walk as victors. We walk around like prey. Woe is me. Here we go again. And I could tell when I pray for people. I love ministering to people, but I could tell by their countenance. They're coming at this as prey and not as a victor. And God wants you to walk as a victor. Amen. He paid the price for you to walk that way. Amen. And you know what I love about he said the God of peace. And yet it's a battle, but he's still the God of peace. How many know God wants you to be able to in peace just to overcome the enemy? Isn't that good? I used to think that authority had to be really stirred up and really be loud. And I'm a very loud person. That's shocking to all of you. But not as loud as Omar, but I'm pretty close. Or Martha, now that. I love you, Martha. Let me just say this, though. Authority does have to be activated. Every one of you in this room that are born again have been given the authority of Christ's name. The power of his word, amen? And the power of his blood. Have you not? And you have the authority, but how many know you got to use the authority? You could be given the authority over a department in the company that you work for, but if you just kind of sit around and do nothing about problems, and guess what? It didn't matter what authority was given to you because you don't activate it. And many believers don't activate the authority. Y'all receiving that? It's really important for us to understand that. Man, even from the beginning, before the fall, man was given a dominion mandate. Was he not? Be fruitful. Multiply and what? Subdue the earth. Take dominion. And if you really think about it, Adam blew it when he didn't take authority over that serpent. Can't do anything about the serpent crawling into your garden, but you can do something about him when he gets there. Amen? And take authority over him in the name of Jesus. Amen? Still there? Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but when a snake comes, or a scorpion, or heaven forbid, a lion, it's startling. Is it not? You come across something that is going to harm you. I mean, all I have to do is see the picture of a rattlesnake on TV. Like somebody, like, here's somebody, Camelback Mountain. And I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus. Just hear that rattle and see that thing sitting there, that tongue coming out like, ah. Y'all with me? Every once in a while, people say lions are in Arizona, especially where we're going up in the mountains. And let me tell you something. God, here's what the Lord spoke this to me, and I believe this with all my heart. I really do. I don't think the enemy knows how fearful you are until you open your mouth. Seriously. Think about it. We break down and fall apart, and the devil goes, ka-ching. It worked. You know, he's just a puddle, you know, right? And I think a lot of times if we could just, you know, hold our peace, right? Maybe that's where that word came from. Hold your peace. Hold on to peace. I say hold on to peace, beloved. Amen. Be what? Quick to hear? And be careful. Be careful about how you speak. Amen? So that when you do speak, what's the word you hear in Scripture all through the Bible, Old and New Testament? Fear not. Amen? Which tells me something. Then I have to make a choice when fear approaches me. Right? I have to make a choice. I have to choose not to fear. Amen? It's a choice. And you got to know how to do that. Now, I believe being in Christ and being built up in Christ is very important because, how many know, most of us know the armor of God, right? The breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, right? The shield of faith. We've got these pieces of the armor, but can I tell you something? Maybe this will help you. Jesus is all those things. He is your righteousness, right? He's the authorization of your faith. He's your salvation. So really what the Lord's saying is get in Christ. Get your life and your whole being cocooned in the Lord, and you've got your armor on. Amen? Amen? And you're fully protected in the Lord. This is very important. That's why it's so important that we live a lifestyle in the presence of God. You know, Psalm 91 says, what does it say? He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall what? Abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I love that next verse. It says, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Everybody say trust. Boy, that's important, isn't it? You got to trust. It's one thing to believe, but do you trust? Because if you trust, you'll always believe until you get the victory. Amen? It's very important we understand that. And the Lord is speaking to me. If my people will abide, I think the abiding is the secret place of prayer. I really do. The time you pull aside to God. And then as you go forth, no, the dwelling place. And then as you go forth, you're able to abide under the shadow of his wings. Amen? Because you read the rest of Psalm 91, it's all about protection from horrific things that may come around you but not touch you. And we live in a world today where we need that. Amen? Come on. He said, you may see 1,000 fall at one side and 10,000 to the other, but it will not come nigh you. Even the pestilences and the diseases, and they shall not come nigh your dwelling. Hallelujah. But we have to dwell and learn how to abide. Amen? Because we can't live in our prayer closet. We have to be able to abide under his shadow. Amen? Hallelujah. Can't live in mind their shoes in there. No, I'm just kidding. In Christ, we live under open heaven. Now, I want to share with you two things about your spiritual weapons. Your spiritual weapons. Have you noticed most of the armor is defensive, right? It's protection. But there is a spiritual weapon. Anybody know what it is? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen? The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. But can I tell you this? Placing this on the dash of your car, on the coffee table, or on your nightstand is not going to help you. I'm sorry. Most people use Bibles as decorative. I'm a Christian. See my Bible? Hold on a minute. There it is. Right? Right? Come on. It's the word in your mouth. It's the word in your mouth. I'll say it again. It's the word in your mouth. Jesus, 40 days, prayer, fasting, seeking God, get ready to launch his messianic ministry, right? Satan himself comes and tempts him. Satan's got a lot of nerve. Hello? He's got a lot of nerve. If you be the Son of God, he knew full well he was the Son of God. But if I can get you to question it, then maybe I can get you to serve me. And y'all remember how Jesus would respond to the temptations? It is written. Don't worry about whether or not you know the verse number. If you know the verse, just say, it is. You may not know where Isaiah 53:4 is. Just say, it is written, by the stripes of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I am healed. Amen? I am the redeemed of the Lord. Hallelujah. I am delivered out of the hand of the enemy by the blood of Jesus, my Passover lamb. You start releasing the word of God, and that kitty cat's gone. Amen? Hallelujah. But you got to open your mouth, guys. And not just amen me. You got to learn how to do it. Amen? Look at Revelation 12, verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. Say, have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God. Get this. Day and night. How many of you know the enemy is relentless? Hello? He's relentless. And he accuses day and night. But we just read in Colossians, he has no authority to do that anymore, right? And how do we overcome these false accusations? That doesn't go on in our culture today, does it? Never mind. Okay. And they overcame him, how? Because of the blood of the Lamb and, say it, the word of their testimony, of your testimony, and your testimony. When the word of God's coming out of your mouth and you're bought by the blood of the Lamb, I got news for you. The accuser has no place in your life. Somebody say amen. It's glory to God. Now, I like to include something else here if I don't tangle myself up and fall. There's a twin or a co-weapon that goes with the word of God. Some of you know what it is. It was in Colossians. It's thanksgiving and praise. It's that sacrifice of praise even before you have the victory. Amen? Where you glorify and you magnify and you lift up the Lord. I loved when I quote the word to put praise on it. Amen? Amen? And to glorify my God. What I love about praise is Jesus even quoted the scripture from the Psalms that says, not only we know God inhabits praise, right? But get this. It says praise is ordained by God to silence the enemy. Would you like to shut up his stupid roar, which is fake? Would you like to shut it up? Start praising God. Because when God arises, his enemies are scattered like turning lights on in a roach-filled room. Yeah. Are you with me? I know it's an image we didn't all need right now, but anyway. I like to put it this way. Shout a hallelujah in the presence of your enemy. You might say, I don't know what to say, Pastor Rick. Do you know hallelujah? That's the universal word of praise in every language. Hallelujah! I love to do it really loud. I just think I'm scaring the kitty. You know what I mean? Are y'all with me? Shout a hallelujah. How about this? That's louder than your unbelief. When unbelief is trying to come on you and the enemy's lying to you, just begin to shout it. Amen? Release the praises of God. I'm telling you guys, we need to get over ourselves. Because if you read Revelation, it is not quiet in heaven. It's loud. Amen? Glory to God. And don't look at me. I grew up Methodist. Whew, we were quiet. But you know, in history, in the history of the Methodist Church in the early days, you know what they were known for? Being the shouting Methodist. Did I say Methodist? With a lisp? They were called the shouting Methodist. I said, well, there weren't any shouting Methodist churches that I grew up in. They were the sleeping Methodist. Anybody with me? And to shout to the glory of God. Okay, I got my cue here. It's time to wrap up. All right. How did Abraham grow strong in faith? Last week's message. What? How did he grow strong in faith? Giving glory to God. That's how he grew strong in faith. And he didn't waver in unbelief. So when you get the word in your mouth with praise, that's your weapon. That's your weaponry. Because all you're doing is exalting Satan's defeat and Christ's victory, right? You're just enforcing what he's already done 2,000 years ago on Mount Calvary. Amen? He's already taken care of it. And we're entering into it by faith. Hallelujah. You know what I love about when you respect the promise of God, you're actually disrespecting the enemy. If you want to diss somebody, diss the devil. Right? Because when you exalt the promises of God out of respect for the infallibility of God's word, then you're starting to see something that goes against the enemy. Amen? And how he operates and how he does. Proverbs 28 says, the wicked flee when no one is pursuing, which is why I don't jog. I know y'all have seen that on Facebook 100 times. But the rest of the verse says this, get it? The righteous are as bold as a lion. Say, I'm as bold. I'm as bold as a lion. Amen? Hallelujah. Some of your kids know that. He is the lion of what? Our lion is what? The lion of the tribe of Judah. What does Judah mean? Praise. He's the lion of the tribe of praise. And when we praise him, we loose our lion. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Loose your lion into your situation and watch the enemy flee. Come on. Hallelujah. You know, when David first heard the taunting of Goliath, that giant, you remember? When he first heard it, David was so offended. He was so, because that was so disrespectful. He was taunting the armies of the living God. And when David heard that, he made a decisive action. Something's got to be done. He wasn't even there as a soldier. You with me? He says, I've got to make that decisive action. I've got to submit this to God and resist this guy. And I love it. And I want to take you, this is our last passage. If you want to turn there, it's 1 Samuel 17. But I want to pick up with the story. Do y'all remember what David said about the guy? He said, what is it going to be? What's the reward for the man that takes down this giant? And then he said this, because who is this uncircumcised Philistine who would taunt the armies of the living God? In other words, I'm in covenant with God. He's not. How dare he? Are y'all with me? That's how David was. Don't you love his heart? God loved his heart. He said he was the only man that had a heart after him. Are you with me? The only God of all the armies of Israel who would say, shouldn't we do something about this guy? Are we just going to, you know, patty cake with him? It had been going on for 40 days. Day and night, Goliath came and taunted the armies of Israel. They're shaking in their boots. And David's standing there going, isn't he an uncircumcised Philistine? And aren't we in covenant with God? Right? And that from that understanding, I want you to pick up. Everybody got 17? 1 Samuel 17? Go to verse 41 real quick. Then the Philistine came on and approached David with shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy, with a handsome appearance. And the Philistine said to David, get this, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? I mean, that's how the enemy works, isn't it? He loves to put you down, right? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine also said to David, get this now, he wasn't through. Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. And then David said to the Philistine, and I love this. Don't you love it? Don't you love it? David didn't whimper down. Right? He said, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, and I come to you. Come on, everybody, say it. In the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. And I love the next two words. What are they? Say it. This day. Some of you need to declare this day. Amen. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down. Boy, David was going for it. And remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all of the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or spear, for the battle, say it, the battle is the Lord's. Hallelujah. And he will give you into our hands. Good job, Dave. Amen. He laid it out for this guy. And I don't know what the Philistine was doing, but he probably had to think, whoa, where did this little guy come from, right? And then I love verse 48. One more verse. Then it happened. Get this now. When the Philistine rose. How many know that the enemy won't leave quickly? Then he rose. Get this now. And he drew near to meet David. And what does it say for the rest of it? What does it say? David did what? Ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And we all know what happened, right? I think, this is me again, the Rick paraphrase version. But I think the giant was probably like, oh my God, he's coming after me. You know? And what has he got? Is that a sling? A sling? And then boom! You know? Knocked him right between the eyes and took him down. I mean, he probably didn't even raise his weapons. David just took him out. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. I love this story. I just love this story. David had more respect for the God he served than that giant slice. Amen? He respected God. And he opened his mouth. Some of you need to start to prophesy your victory. Amen? Open your mouth and declare the word of the Lord. And don't give up and don't let him rob from you any longer. Amen? Hallelujah. And then when you know you've got, run quickly. I really think there's something to that. I think sometimes we wait till the last minute to even try to call on God. I'm trying to do that when everything from feeling badly to sickness to an issue that rises. I'm trying to run quickly to the battle line and just get right in the enemy's face right away. Amen? I don't want to sit around a patty cake and have a conference about it. Are y'all with me? You know, David didn't stand around with his brothers and go, what do you think we ought to do to take this guy down? I mean, I've kind of shot my mouth off now. Yeah, I shot my mouth off and he didn't leave, so what are we going to do? He didn't do that. I mean, you know, the more you talk about it, you're just magnifying. That giant's getting bigger than he was. He's already big, but he's going to get bigger than he already was. Amen? David called his bluff. It's exactly what he did. He called in his chips. Fear not. Be bold. Be strong. Read your Bible. It's all through there. Don't fear, for the Lord our God is with us, and he is mighty to save. Hallelujah. Got to be in faith. Now let me say this about trust. It says in Philippians, you know this verse, I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you, amen, he will perfect it in the day of Christ Jesus. How many of you believe that? He's trustworthy. He will finish what he began in you. Amen? And there's another verse I really love. You can look at it later. How many of you ever felt like you weren't faithful? Come on, my hand's up. You weren't trustworthy, right? We've all been there. But can I tell you, there's a verse, if you want to write it down, it's 2 Timothy 2:13. It says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful because he can't deny himself. The ability to be faithless is not in God. Isn't that awesome? Hello? I know that's, it kind of shocks us because we think when I'm faithless, then God's going to bail on me. But he won't bail on you. Amen? Aren't you glad? He's trustworthy. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and in all of his goodness. Now, the Lord spoke to me when I was thinking about the armor again. There's one part of the armor I didn't bring up, and that's your shoes. Remember what it said? You shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. Everybody say the gospel of peace. In other words, what do shoes determine? Shoes determine your purpose, right? Rick didn't take his dress shoes to the beach. You took your sandals, right? If you're going to go play a game of basketball, you put your tennis shoes on, right? If you're going to go to a wedding and you got your best suit on or a tux, you're going to put on your dress shoes, right? I hope you would. I don't know, some of this generation may wear tennis shoes, but you know. But shoes, what I'm saying is shoes determine purpose. Can I say this to you? The enemy, a lot of what we're going through, the enemy's trying to get us off of our purpose. Because my purpose and my mission is to live to bring the light of the glory of gospel to other people's lives. Amen? To get a harvest for my king. Amen? And so sometimes we fight these battles and we're not being light to anybody else. We're just trying to whip the enemy who's already defeated. And a lot of times the enemy's trying to get us off course of what, because God's called us to be a harvesting people. Amen? Amen? To bring the glory, the power of God to a generation. I believe that with all of my heart. And God wants you to have those beautiful feet that stand on every mountain and proclaim good news. Amen? God wants us to be that people. It's harvest time. Jesus said, what? Go into all the world. Everybody look at me. All of us go somewhere in all the world every day of your life. You have a green light. Hello? You have a green light to go for God. Now, interesting, there's something interesting. In the book of Acts, it said Paul had a passion to go to Asia. And so when Paul got there, the Holy Spirit told him not to preach. And so then he decided, I'll go to Bithynia. And when he went over there, the Holy Spirit said again, do not preach. But now he was living with the green light, right? So when I say to live on go, how many know when you go with a heart to share the gospel and to minister to people, you still got to listen to the Holy Spirit, because sometimes it's just not time. Right? It's not time for you to say anything at that point. But you still need to live with your heart wide open to be used of God in every situation. Does it make sense? Because here's what happened next. Paul, after those two rejections by the Holy Spirit, when he was asleep, he had a dream and a vision of a man in Macedonia that said, come, we need you here. And he went there. And of course, we know the rest is history. Paul went there and had a great outpouring of God there. And it was because he was listening to God. But can I say this respectfully? If we don't live with our gospel shoes on, why would he give us a vision or a dream? I mean, Because, I mean, we have to live that way. And I want to say, I believe there's going to be a release of divine revelation, dreams and visions and direction from the Lord when we set our heart to say, you know what? I will fight the battles I need to fight, and I'll walk in victory by my faith over the enemy. But I'm living for a higher purpose. And that's the gospel of the kingdom of God. Amen? And the enemy will be crushed under my feet when I'm doing God's business. Are y'all with me today? Hallelujah. Stand up on your feet this morning. Hallelujah. I bless you today. Come on, lift up your hands to heaven. Let me pray over you. I bless you today that you have a green light. Hallelujah. To be salt and light for God. To serve Him in His glory. To be a light. To be a mouthpiece for the Word of God. Wherever you work. Wherever you go to school. Wherever you are. Some of you work in businesses. Some of you are in your home. Some of you teach in school or go to school. Some of you work in government. And I say today the Lord has appointed you and He has placed you in that place. And when the enemy comes against you, don't become prey. Amen? Don't become his prey. Walk like a victor. Walk like an overcomer in the mighty name of Jesus. For Jesus has already defeated your enemy. He is already defeated. And he's asking you to stand up. Say, I will not fear. I will be bold. I will be strong. And follow the heart of my God. For I am blessed to be a blessing to others. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Now shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Give him praise right now. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. God is good. God is good, beloved. I tell you, it's time. It's harvest time. I look around. What God wants to do is not going to fit in this room. We know this is a temporary place for us. But I tell you, there's a harvest coming. And we need to get our hearts ready for it. Amen. And live for God. But man, whip the kitty cat, okay? He's not a lion, okay? Just stand up with God, and God's got your back, amen? All right, I love you guys. Thank you so much for coming today. Are you blessed today, man? God's so good. Bless all of our guests that are with us today. We're not as crazy as we seem. We're a lot crazier than we seem. Anyway, God is good. Hallelujah. If you need prayer for anything, I know we've already had a lot of prayer in ministry, but if you need prayer for anything, if you just come down to the front, that'll help me understand that you want to talk or pray with me. Just come down to this carpeted area. That'll help us to determine that. And we